Everybody knows why the weather in this country is out of control is because we lost the ozone layer. Well, if we lost it, why don't we put it on milk cartons, try to find it? How stupid are we, the most technologically advanced culture in the history of mankind, to live without an ozone layer, okay? We have men, we've got rockets, we've got saran wrap. Fix it!
Lewis Black is one angry man. On stage and in his caustic commentaries for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart on TV's Comedy Central. As Mark Twain once said, when angry, count four. When very angry, swear. Lewis Black subscribes to Mark Twain's theory of anger management. I'd like to warn you that you will hear some coarse language in this piece. Lewis Black tells us how much of his onstage anger he carries around with him offstage.
There's a fine line between playing angry and being angry. Now I can actually be angry on stage because they know the fact that I can, you know, I'm not going to go out and control on them and that I will stop it. But because I've gotten genuinely angry on stage. But basically, you got to play that anger. And that's easy to do. I mean, and it's fun because everybody goes through all, nobody has like a perfect day. I mean, it's great for me. I mean, it's like there's always something, you know, that's always kind of sticking in your craw so that you've always got a place to kind of go to. But I've always been frustrated by what I consider to be the stupidity around me. I mean, like today, I'm in LaGuardia Airport and there's a woman who's no more than 5'5", who must be 60, and they're patting her down. You know, you're just going, come on. You know, it's just like, please. There's always something along the way that just gets you going. The character I play on stage is really kind of probably what I was like when I was 15 and in high school. And that it's exactly who I am when I'm in Los Angeles for more than a couple of days. I become that person. I'm in a constant rage in Los Angeles.
Now, if you ever had the opportunity to go to Los Angeles, why don't you take a pencil out, sharpen it, and shove it in your eye? Because you'd be better off sitting in a hospital emergency room holding the pencil steady, wondering what you're going to look like in a jaunty eye patch, than to spend a minute in that town. Every time I've gone there, something horrible's happened. First time I was out there, earthquake. Earthquake! 5.5 on a scale of 10. And my friends, who've lived there a little too long, said it was a little earthquake. And I said to my friends, hey, you've lost your goddamn minds. An earthquake is an earthquake. I don't know if you noticed, but where I was standing, the earth done quaketh. Literally, where I was standing, the earth under my feet went up and it went down. And when the earth does that, it's telling you a little secret. Move. I reached a point in Los Angeles where I almost snapped, so you can imagine what that was like. I'd had it. So I went to a place to calm down. The reason I'd actually had almost lost my mind was because CBS had flown me to Los Angeles. They'd flown me to Los Angeles because a writer and a director and a producer had seen my act in New York City. And they saw the act and they took from my act a number of lines and created from those lines a character for the pilot of a sitcom. So they had created this character from all of my lines, and CBS flew me to Los Angeles to audition for this character. Some of you are missing the point here. CBS flew me to Los Angeles to audition to be myself. While I was on the plane, I looked back over my life, and I finally was really glad that in my youth, I had taken LSD. I'd never really enjoyed the experience of watching a chair turn into 1,000 snakes. But now I was happy and was glad that I had done it because LSD is the only thing that could prepare you for the moment that you'd be auditioning to be you. And I gave a great audition. Why? Because I'm me. An hour later, I got a phone call from CBS, and they said that I had given a great audition, but someone had given a better one. Unbeknownst to me, there was a better me. What was funny is a guy finally told me, a Midwestern comic named Dan Ballard, and he was working with me one night, and he said, Lewis, you know,
what you ought to do is, he said, I'm not angry and I'm yelling. And he said, but you're really angry and you're not yelling. And it was like a light went off. So he said, when you go on stage, just start yelling. Because a lot of what was happening was, I was sitting on the anger, so it was really becoming more angry than it should be. And what really was the turning point, I think, for all of it for me was when Reagan was president. I was always trying to prove a point. Well, you might want to do that, but I'm really interested in entertaining people ultimately, and that to me is what's important. And allowing them to think and allowing them to feel like they have a right to express themselves. I mean, if that's the only thing I want to share is that, you know, if something seems stupid to you, you're allowed to say it. You don't have to sit there and take the guff that these idiots throw out at us. And I find that when I'm on stage, it really worked for me when I discovered that Ronald Reagan, who sent me into just, you know, I went berserk when he was, and it dawned on me one day that all of these bills that were being passed were being voted for by Democrats. And I thought, it's a Democratic Congress, and I'm blaming, you know, there are more of them than him, and they're allowing this to take place. And that was the end of it. It was when I realized that both, it was kind of a symbiotic relationship between these two parasites that really made it intolerable. And that's when I kind of became somewhat even-handed about it.
So I went to a place to calm down. I went to my health club. Not one of those places where people pump iron Tybo. I like to go to a place where the odds are even up. My favorite health club is the International House of Pancakes. Because no matter what you weigh, there will always be someone there who weighs 150 pounds more than you will ever weigh. It's guaranteed. It's on the back of the menu. Read it sometime. They don't give you a cup of coffee. They give you a hodl of coffee. It's coffee for 15 people. Even if you're alone, they bring you a big jug of coffee, which makes me feel good because I think maybe somebody's coming and I don't know who. So I put in the milk and the sugar and I drink the whole thing and then I go, bring me some goddamn pancakes! Son of a bitch, that's too much coffee. What's the matter with you people? And you need a lot of pancakes because I got 6 syrups on the table. I got to use every one of them. Otherwise, why be there? Why be there? So I finished the meal and I was drinking the boysenberry. Well, I was still a little edgy from the coffee. When from behind me, a young woman of 25 uttered the dumbest thing I'd ever heard in my life. She said, if it weren't for my horse, I wouldn't have spent that year in college. I'll repeat that. I'll repeat that because that's the kind of sentence when you hear it, your brain comes to a screeching halt. And the left-hand side of the brain looks at the right-hand side of the brain and goes, it's dark in here. And we may die. She said, if it weren't for my horse, giddy up, let's go, I wouldn't have spent that year in college, a degree-granting institution. Don't think about that sentence for more than 3 minutes or blood will shoot out your nose. The American medical profession doesn't know why we get an aneurysm. It's when a blood vessel bursts in our head for no apparent reason. There's a reason. Every so often. Something like that happens. If it weren't for my horse, I wouldn't have spent that year in college. And your brain goes, let's figure it out! Son of a bitch, I wonder what that's about. I wonder, was she riding the horse to school? No, she wouldn't be riding the horse to school. Maybe it was a polo pony. She had a polo pony scholarship. And then you realize that anybody who went to college would never say anything that stupid in public. And as soon as you have that thought, your eyes close, and the next morning they find you dead in your bathroom. You know, even though I've enjoyed spending time with you this evening, I'm not a people person. Thank you and good night, Madison.
Comedian Lewis Black.